Welcome everyone to Christ's Blessing. On the 23rd of October 2016, for me, it is such a pleasure and privilege to be here. I never tire of the opportunity to serve the Lord in this way, to be here with His grace, with His love, with the magnificent presence of the Holy Spirit surrounding us, and the grace beyond imagination of our Father Creator. We are all assembled in their presence. We are all assembled in the presence of one another. And everyone in our congregation is so very, very important for bringing into union the Spirit of Christ. As He said, wherever two or more of you are joined, in My name I will be there. And there are certainly more than two joined in His name here today. And I am so, delighted is an understatement. Even thrilled is an understatement. It's just a humble pleasure to be here in that extremely special state of grace for your benefit and actually the benefit of everyone. Because I have noticed through the years of serving Him that as we each take Him into our presence and allow Him to work His miracles and His healing love and His grace into the world, it has collateral benefits on everyone around us. His love doesn't stop with just the one person that is first attracted to it. Just think about it. Just think from a handful of people, just a small handful of people, His family, a few close students that we call the apostles, and then a very, very few small congregations of people that really studied and wanted to learn His message. It's grown into a congregation of over 5 billion people in 2,000 years. Now, we don't all agree. Not everybody's got the same little spin on His message. There are different denominations because of that. And it's human nature to feel a little bit insecure outside of conformity. And by conformity, I don't mean necessarily reduction of consciousness, but we like to have agreement. We just feel stronger in our belief if somebody else agrees with us. And that's just an element of human nature that we're probably always going to contend with. But the real answer to that is not to disagree with it or judge it or say, oh, that's a limited aspect of human nature. The real way is just to elevate consciousness so that what we're agreeing on is something really worth agreeing on, such as love, that we are agreeing on the creative power, the healing power of love, that we're agreeing on how much God loves us, all of us, every one of us, globally. So it's not so bad that we need agreement. It's what we seek agreement for, that we need to do a little bit of education and growth on. And it's to that end that I offer more messages every Sunday. Most of them come, or at least they start from, Love Without End or The Keys of Yeshua. And they're embellished by whatever you bring to the community on Sunday through your questions. And whatever seems to be important happening in the world or in your heart, in your life, as we come together and we seek together to have a better life, a better understanding, and a better world to live in. So it's in that spirit that we're here, and also in that spirit, I would like to open our community up to questions or requests for blessings. I don't see anybody signed up to the board yet, but the way you do that is you simply press *6, listen for the prompt to press 1, and then I'll get a little bubble on my dashboard here by your number. And from that, I can open your line and you can ask for a blessing for yourself, or it could be for you, it could be for a friend, a family member, it could be for the world. It could be for a collective prayer. And actually, one of the things I want to talk about today is prayer. I want us to talk a little bit more about that because it's a very big part of the blessing. During the time that, by the way, my monitor is still focused on the dashboard, so anybody that wants to come on board and ask for a blessing, I'm still watching for you, but I'm going to be talking because I might as well use the airtime for something inspirational and beneficial. So I'll just, for the benefit of those who have not, maybe not been here before, or not very often, or may have not heard this before, this blessing is very much a blessing of Christ. It doesn't come from a blessing giver. We are conduits, much like a dish on the roof picks up a satellite signal for our TV. You might call me Dish Glenda, and then all of the other blessing givers would have their name on their dish. And together, we're picking up the energetic signals that are being cast upon you and toward you. You see, our whole universe, from the tiniest particle to the largest form, is all energy. It's all energy in one form or another. It may be flowing energy. It may be dead energy in the sense that it's just been consumed and momentarily being recycled. Or it may have turned into mass, and mass may have conglomerated into larger forms of mass to become the chair you're sitting on or the body you're sitting in. But it's all energy. It's all energy in one form or another. And everything has its own signatory energy. Each animal species has a different energy. In fact, we know that they can sense and feel and send energy signals that are unique to their species. Whales can talk to each other through sonic waves. Bats have radar. Dogs can hear sounds we can't hear. The same is true of many, many animals that can smell or sense or hear or feel, even on their body. I learned recently that cats' whiskers actually provide signals to their optical nerve that they have very, very poor eyesight between about 1 inch from their eye to 3 inches from their eye. Very, very poor eyesight for some reason. Have no idea what nature had in mind or God had in mind creating them that way. but their whiskers pick up what's happening in that zone. And this is why if a cat has his whiskers cut off, he becomes very disoriented because he or she is literally blind in a certain little zone of perception. Can see very well beyond the 3 inches and very well in the close-up inch, but becomes very, very disoriented in that inner zone. And I find that extremely fascinating that whiskers could literally send signals to the optic nerve. God's creations are absolutely amazing. What amoeba can pick up from vibrations of light what has been revealed is just absolutely amazing. They will move towards something that's life-giving, away from something that's not life-giving. How they know this? These are amazing signals, and it's all energy. It's all energy. Now, the way this affects you is that God sends blessings to you energetically. And sometimes we're like the cat that's had its whiskers cut off. We could feel blessings that are really up close and happening to us, like somebody giving us a hug or a check for $1,000, which would be awfully nice, or a kiss from our loved ones, or at a distance we could see some wonderful things happening in the neighborhood or a beautiful sunrise. But it's like, now what happened for us, the analogy of the whiskers being cut off would be we become insensitive because we've been hurt. We've been disappointed. People have lied to us or let us down. Or we think our prayers haven't worked. And we're not picking up all the signals that's coming to us. Well, what Yeshua taught me and helped me to learn for your benefit and the benefit of everyone is that particular frequency that God and the Holy Spirit is using to send blessings to you. Now, it's His blessing. It's the Holy Spirit sending the energy. It's Yeshua's love. But we're creating a bridge, kind of a signal bridge that gets that across to you. And learning how to do that has literally changed my life because it's helped me to repair. Well, it's helped me to regrow my whiskers for one thing. And it's helped me to have compassion for what other people can't sense or feel when God is trying so hard to bring blessings to them and they just don't have that little extra 2 inches of faith to feel it. So, in the blessing, we're going to start with you just sitting comfortably to receive. And while we're conducting that energy, and by we, I mean the blessing givers and me, amplified, of course, with the Holy Spirit and Christ and the grace of God, from whom all things come, we're flowing that energy to you. But while we're doing that, we're asking you to pray. So that's why we want, and that's for 3 minutes. That's why I want to focus a little bit on prayer today. I want to talk about what is prayer? How do we pray more effectively? How do we pray more productively? How do we pray with more connection, feeling more union with God? I think that's a very important question. And actually, it was one of the most common questions that the apostles asked Yeshua when they were with him. He answered them several different ways. But of course, his most famous answer was the prayer that he actually gave them. And we see in that prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, we see a template that could be used for all prayer. The first part of the prayer being praise of God, reverence and acknowledgement that when we pray, we are entering holy ground. You don't have to be in a temple. You don't have to be before an altar. But when you pray, realize that you are entering the presence of the holiest of the holy. And we acknowledge that presence by saying something like, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. And you could say that in your own way. It doesn't have to be an exact memorization from the gospel, because he told the apostles to pray from their heart. But he gave them the steps for prayer. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. That is like saying, I don't know what the best is to pray for, but I pray that I may be standing in your will, that I may have the courage to walk upon the path you've given for me, and I know that at the end of that path, I will find you, and that on that path I will be receiving your blessings for me. Give us this day our daily bread. That's really, really acknowledging the fact that it's not so much, you know, the way I see it, it's not so much a request for prosperity or sustenance or survival as it is an acknowledgement that our daily bread has already been provided. Yeshua said this in so many ways. He said, God has given the lilies of the field everything they need and the most beautiful raiment to wear. Why would he not care for you? In other words, our daily bread has been given. We only need to ask for it and acknowledge that we know it has been given and is there for us to receive. And I think that part of the prayer, as much as anything, is an acknowledgement. You know, what I found is that a lot of prayers have already been answered. They are simply waiting for us to the prayers are simply waiting for us to discover them. A lot of things I think we call destiny are simply discovering prayers that have already been answered. So give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses or our debts, as we forgive others. What that basically means is that forgiveness is a two-way street. God is not going to forgive you in order to set you above others. He's not going to let you commit a crime in order to get ahead of someone else and then forgive you for it. God keeps a good ledger book. But as you forgive others, He forgives you. We do not have a punishing God. He does not ever wish you ill. Ever. He does not ever wish you to suffer. He does not ever wish you pain. Now, sometimes He allows you to suffer because you feel a need for it. Now, why you feel the need for it would be unique in every situation. But I have found in my life, the moment I no longer need to suffer, I stop suffering. That doesn't mean all the cause of suffering goes away. Sometimes external conditions have to clear up on their own. Let's just say, for example, if a hurricane came through and caused immense damage to my home, I would suffer because in the beginning I would wonder why. Why did this happen to me? Why the damage? How far will the damage go? And I would also feel through compassion the suffering of others. I would feel it strongly. And so I would feel that, and I would feel the pain, but then I would start looking around and I would think, but this can all be fixed up. We remove a few tree limbs. We get the insurance company to come out and pay for the roof. It'll all be fine, and it's over. Then we help one another. The situation isn't all gone, but the suffering is all gone. You see, we suffer as long as we need to suffer. Like I said, it doesn't mean all the external conditions cleared up immediately. But our need to suffer can be cleared up when we're ready to stop it, when we're ready to let go. So lead us. Then there is another line in the prayer that's been often misinterpreted, misdescribed. It goes something like this in the way it's commonly said. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now that implies that we're in evil somehow. Actually, originally it was not written that way. It did say deliver us from temptation, but it said and remove evil from us. You see, there's a very big difference. Very big difference. Because you were created in the image of your Father as a perfect soul, a perfect entity. And we're just simply asking that evil be removed from us. Oh, that's a big difference. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and yours is the glory forever. And so we end with praise. We end with praise. Now, in our personal prayer, we will probably ask for more than that. Because there's always room inside of our prayer. It could be during the sequences of the template that Yeshua gave us. It could be before, it could be after. But we will discuss with God our situation. And we have a right to. We have a right to partner with God. Because as a matter of fact, we were created to partner with God. As it was said in the book of Genesis, God felt lonely. And he wanted someone to share life with, to create with. And you're it, my friend. I'm it. We're all it. We're it. And so we have a right to bring to God the things we would like to partner with. But let me show you an example of how that works and how it doesn't work. The way in which prayer works better. Now, I can't come with the wisdom of a parent because I wasn't privileged to have children in this life, but I was an aunt to many youngsters, and I taught many youngsters, and I have friends with many youngsters. And I know that if one of my nieces or nephews came to me and said, Aunt Linda, I have a headache. Can you fix it? I would kind of be stunned. I would say, first of all, I would say, well, honey, let's talk about your headache. When did you get your headache? What were you doing? And I would see if she, let's just say it's a little girl, I would say, look to see if she was getting maybe a cold or some flu, or maybe had just played too hard or had been in the sun. We'd talk for a minute, and I'd get her response, like, well, what's going on? What were you doing when you got your headache? Oh, I was out running. I was out in the sun. And so then I would say, well, first of all, I think you need a glass of cool water, and just let's just put a cool cloth on your head. Okay? And then we'll do that and see if you need aspirin. Maybe you don't need aspirin. Maybe just cooling down is all you need. So we talk our way through it. And she might cool down, and then the next minute I'd look outside and see she's out running in the sun again. And she comes back in and she's got a headache. Well, Aunt Glenda, can I have some aspirin? I said, no, you first got to have some good sense. and she would say, yeah, but everybody's out there playing in the sun. And I would say, well, maybe they can do that, but it's not working for you today. So let's get you cooled down again. Well, maybe if I had some aspirin, then I could go do it. And I would say, no, we're not going to do that because it's just not good sense. It's not good sense. Let's take care of the basics. And we'll get you to where you're comfortable and you're having fun again. You can play in the shade. Just don't overheat. That's what's causing the problem. Okay, well, see, this is the way God likes us to come to us with our prayers. He doesn't like us to come and say, God, I got to have $10,000 tomorrow. And he would say, why? What do you need it for? And you would say, well, I've got the mortgage, I've got a car payment, I've got this bad debt with the business, I've got, and you would go down X, Y, Z, and it all happened at once. It's just a complete catastrophe. And so God would say, well, let's just back up and let's look at how you got in that catastrophe. When you started getting that catastrophe, did you think to talk to me about it? Well, no, I thought I could handle it myself. And God would say, well, that's commendable of you. But when the catastrophe got a little worse, did you think about asking for help? No, I thought I could do it all myself. Well, that's a little less commendable, but I can understand why. But how did you get completely out of control? Well, I just I took on the wrong partners, and I just didn't use good judgment. And God would say, oh, okay, so what we got to really fix here is your understanding about life. Okay, well, maybe that's true. I'll grant you that. But can you pay the bills? And God might say, well, I tell you what, I am going to help you pay the bills, but I'm going to do it creatively. I'm not going to put that money in your bank account. I'm going to teach you how to find your resources so that as you find them, you're using better judgment. You're partnering with me. You're going to do more of the right thing. And we're going to create a better pathway for you where this problem just won't happen again. And then, you know, you might say, oh, well, shoot. Well, I don't know why I bothered praying. And God would say, well, I know why you bothered praying, because you got to the point where you knew you couldn't do it any longer by yourself. Now, if you had learned this a little sooner, you wouldn't be in trouble. So let's get started. Let's get started right now. Okay, my friends. You see, prayer is not about asking for Merlin to come in and wave his magic wand. Prayer is for about how we recover our relationship to God. How we recover our relationship to one another, how we recover our relationship to a sensible economy, to the way nature works, to the way our bodies work. And people in the most dire conditions of health have turned their situation completely around through prayer. And I'm talking about rational prayer. I'm not talking about magical prayer. I'm talking about rational prayer. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that works with God, that works with nature, that works with reason, that works with one another, that works with their doctor, that works with good sense, that works with everything about life that would have worked all along. You see, Yeshua left us with only two commandments, and that was to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love one another as ourselves. Now, that means, first of all, you got to love yourself. And guess what? Most people don't. Most people really don't love themselves. People have a strange way of embracing a certain kind of self-importance, which is ego-centered, and yet they still don't love themselves. Self-compassion is a hard thing to come by, actually. It's a humbling thing to come by. And an interesting thing is that when you acquire that, you acquire more compassion for one another. You acquire more love for God. You acquire more love for life. And your prayers work better. You stop being hard on yourself. You stop being demanding for things to work instantly. And you start realizing that you have all the answers already inside yourself. And God has already given the answers that we each just need to discover. So with that, we are ready for our blessing. And we're a little past the 30-minute mark, so we need to get started. I noticed nobody came on the line today, so we must have been answering your questions without knowing it, as sometimes we do. And it's time for you to to get into your position of relaxation and receiving. Let your attention fall into your heart. I will say a prayer to Yeshua to prepare the holy ground on which this blessing is given and offered to each one of you wherever you are. For he is with each one of you everywhere. And then the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth the grace of God and the love of Christ as you pray your prayer from your heart. When it's over, I will let you know. And after that, I want you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes just to receive, just to be one with God. Don't think. Don't even continue your prayer. Just receive. Be a blank slate on which the will of God can be written. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, we thank you so much for all the wisdom you have given us, and most of all for your love, that you walked among us as a human being, being hungry, needing sleep from your tiredness of the day, dust on your feet, calluses on your hands, love in your heart, and at times a need to retreat and pray, as we all need to do, at times of temptation, which you rose above, at times of anguish, which you defeated and rose above, at times of suffering, which you transcended. We thank you for the miracles you've shown us through the ages. We thank you for your miracle in our life now. We thank you for the way your love gives us strength and courage and light, that we may be a light into the world. And that through your light, our light will grow. And through our common light, we will discover the answers to everything we need. By the grace of God, it will come. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it will be delivered. Amen, amen, and love forevermore. Amen. Let us all begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest. Receive and be with God. I look forward to being with you again next week. Have a blessed and wonderful week. And bye-bye for now.